Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And what it does, and this is what I want to talk about, what happens when the church prays. Okay, I'm not talking this morning what happens when I pray. There's a lot of benefits for me when I pray. The spiritual temperature and fire in my heart goes up and all sorts of things happen. But I want to talk to us this morning about what happens when the church prays. You can drop that one down, because you're in this season and there's going to be some fasting this week. And I want to tell you, I have a love-hate relationship with fasting. I hate fasting in terms of my physical body, because I actually really enjoy food. The last couple of days before a fast begins, it's amazing how awesome food looks and tastes as you're going into that fast. And then when you come out, it's like I have a whole new appreciation for food. It's a good thing. And so I hate, my body's like, no, I feel the sugar withdrawals. I feel all the withdrawals. But then the love is the sense of God speaking to me, the sense of passion that comes back to my heart for His presence, for His will. It comes alive in me. I want to encourage you, participate in the fast that the church is doing and get involved in this all night of prayer. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 2. This is one of the very first early moments of corporate prayer where Jesus said, you guys should wait on me, wait on the Holy Spirit, wait on God. And they did, and we call it Pentecost. And they waited. 120 of them began, and 500 of them began, and 120 of them were left in this prayer meeting. And it says on Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, that's one of my favorite words in the Bible, right alongside of immediately. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And it goes on, and they began to speak in tongues, and all sorts of things began to happen. The first thing I want to talk about here is when we pray together corporately, when we make a decision as a church, we're going to come together and we're going to wait on God, we're going to wait on His presence, then something happens in the spiritual atmosphere of the church. The church starts to get on fire. The atmosphere begins to shift and people get on fire. But so in this particular moment, literally a wind swept through the whole place. The place shaked and tongues of fire, visible tongues of fire, began to get on people's heads as they started to spontaneously combust and speak in tongues. And it would have been a magnificent moment in that church. Now here's the deal. That wasn't just for a one time only. The principle of seeking God is a principle that followed through the whole church in the book of Acts. And it's gone through the history of church. When churches make a decision to seek God together, then the fire of God begins to fall on that church. And when the fire of God begins to fall, things begin to change. It's the atmosphere. It's almost like, I visit different churches, and you can walk into churches, it's almost like you can put a thermometer in the atmosphere. And when you can put a thermometer in the atmosphere, it's like, what's the heat like in this room? What's the fire like? You can do it with individuals, because when someone gets on fire, you can feel they're on fire. There's passion. It's not just personality. It's not just exuberance. It's not just loudness, but there's a fire. You know, an introvert on fire, you can sense this passion and this drive and this love of worship and love of God and a commitment to the mission of winning lost people to Christ. And so that's in an individual. But when a church gets on fire, you can sense it. Everyone's leaning in. There's a sense of the presence of God that's just thicker. People are leaning into the preaching of the word. People are on the front foot in worship when we're praying. There's an atmosphere. And this is what happens when the spiritual climate of the church goes up. And prayer is the only way you can turn up the spiritual climate of the church. The only way you can do it. You know, here's one of the things that happens in your body. When we start to get an infection, when there's something foreign gets into our body is designed to turn the heat up to destroy that foreign virus or foreign bacteria or whatever it might be. So when the church turns the heat up in prayer, you'll find that little spiritual things and attacks that are coming to start to get out of your body. It's a way to deal with spiritual warfare in the house. So let's get the temperature of C3 Monash turned up this week. Who's with me right now? Give me a wave. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen when the temperature gets turned up? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The very first thing that's going to happen, if we look at the book of Acts in that moment, is immediately after that they have the day of Pentecost, the place gets on fire, people are speaking in tongues. Immediately, 3,000 people are added to the church. Immediately, this is not just about a group of people getting a good feeling. This is not just a few Christians getting a quiver in their liver. You know, this is not about a few Christians going, oh, wow, this is awesome. Let's just now lock ourselves away from the rest of the world so that we can have meetings to feel good. This is about an atmosphere that causes a language to be spoken, literally the language of a whole lot of people, that they could suddenly hear the gospel and the good news, and then the word of God was preached with fire, and in one day, 3,000 people get saved. This is what happens when the spiritual temperature of a church turns up, people get saved. Supernaturally, our hunger for that happens, increases, our hunger to be a witness, but something happens in the atmosphere. It's just different. I may have told you this story, but years ago, we were in a conference, and we'd just come out of the conference, and the spiritual atmosphere of our church was right up, going off the Richter scale, and we're there praying, and I'm up the front, and we just took a moment in our service. Let's pray for some friends that we and family members who we love to come into a relationship with God. It's the greatest thing the church can do, is for our friends and family to come into a relationship with God. You might be here this morning and someone's invited you along, or you've been coming along for a few weeks. It might be your first time, and you're not in a relationship with God. There's no sense of that closeness and personal relationship that you're designed for. And so my prayer is today, at the end of the service, I'm going to give you a chance to pray a simple prayer to invite God into your life, and it will be a game changer. That moment will be a game changer. So we're praying for this in our church. And as we're praying, one of our events team in the second row, her name's Sarah, she's got a phone out, and she's going really off the Richter scale. We're already off the Richter. She's going off, and she sort of waves at me, can I? And I'm like, what the heck? Come on up here. So she comes up and she goes, Pastor John, you've got to look at this. And she tells me, and then I said, well, tell the church. She said, I've been praying for my cousin Jim to give his life to Christ. And anyway, exactly while we're in the middle of prayer, so she's standing up in front of our whole church, exactly while we're in the middle of prayer, I get this text from him saying, Sarah, I need to get to church. Where is your church? I need to get back to God. She's like, no way. While we're praying, God's working in his heart. But it gets even better. While she's standing up the front with me, we're standing there, and in the back of church, we're halfway through the church, the cousin Jim didn't know what church Sarah went to. He just went out looking for a church, and the doors open, and in the back of church comes Jim. And she's there talking about, and this text is amazing, and then she sees him. Her mouth just drops. She goes, and there he is. That's Jim. And all the church is like, oh my goodness. It was like a scene from Chariots of Fire, slow motion, da 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 da, just running across the room, a big hug. This is one of my favorite moments in church. And that guy, Jim, now he and his wife have been saved and on fire in our church. They run the creche in our church. He's actually the manager of my business. And it happened because two things were going on. The increase of prayer and the spiritual atmosphere created something for when people come into to get saved. But it actually, that focus created an atmosphere for souls to be won. It's a great moment. Now, we might not have that every day of the week. I think God gives us some of those mountaintop moments just to remind us of what's happening in the spiritual realm when the church gets on fire and we're clear what the focus is. 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, a girl called Jenna in our church told us her story of how as a teen, she's about 23, 24, and she told us her story of how as a teenager she'd been bullied. She ended up feeling quite depressed, and out of that depression and out of that sense of purposelessness and no real connection with God, and so there was no clarity of purpose and meaning and love in her heart, she began to just look for something that would fill the void in her life. And so she began to try some drugs and go to parties and get into relationships. And before she knew it, she was in an abusive relationship a number of years later, in an abusive relationship with a guy. And she was hooked on, she started with marijuana, but she eventually got hooked on cocaine and party drugs. And you would look at her and you wouldn't think anything was going on. But inside was this just terrible emptiness and a desire to escape from the pain and to find some meaning in the relationship. But the problem was that would give a high, but then eventually when you came off that high, she would go lower and lower and lower, and it's getting more and more depressed. So a friend invites her to church, and she comes to church, and she's in and out of church for a while because she's in this battle and struggle. But she comes to church in this particular season again, and the atmosphere of our church is on fire, and she's in in this place, and I gave a little message, and I talked about consecration. I was just talking about how we need to, sometimes we just got to give our lives over fully to God. I said some people need to consecrate your businesses, and I just made this little statement: some people need to consecrate your bodies to God, and say even if you're not a virgin now, but you're going to give your body to God to be a virgin when you get married. God used that and spoke to her, and she made a decision in that moment. God, I'm going to, in the atmosphere of fire, I'm going to give you my life fully, and I'm going to make a decision today to save myself and keep my body holy and acceptable to you until I'm married. In that same atmosphere, she got prayed for the addiction to drugs to be broken off her, and something powerful happened. In one moment, she got set free from her addiction to drugs. She went home to her boyfriend, who she was living with, and said, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till I get married. Like a typical drongo, he goes, well, why would we stay together then? Because that's the only reason we're together. So he breaks off, which is actually good for her. She gets out of that and starts to just be transformed, get on fire. About maybe 3 months ago, she got water baptized. At our last water baptism, her mum got water baptized. Her sister was there. And this, when we get on fire, when the atmosphere of church gets a passion for the presence of God and a passion for lost people, it's so fulfilling to watch what God does in families and friends and people all around our lives. Come on, let's give it a lot of clap. When the church gets on fire, turn up the atmosphere. Acts chapter 4, there's a number of moments, if you read through the book of Acts, of where the church prays, what happens? So that first one is the Holy Spirit comes and fire comes and they get filled with the Holy Spirit and thousands of people get saved. Here's another one, and it's not long after Peter and John have been persecuted and they've been beaten and then they've been set free and been told, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. So they come back because you know what? Persecution happens. We get tested when we're on the front foot for kingdom advancement. And they come back to the church, and rather than retreating, they go, hey, we've been persecuted for the name of Jesus. So let's just keep praying, because it's such a great honor to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. Let's keep praying that we might be able to advance the kingdom. And here's their prayer in Acts chapter 4. This is what they say. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. This is the prayer of the church. Hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after that prayer, here's another church-wide prayer meeting. After that prayer, the meeting place shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they preached the word of God with boldness. This is the church going, hey, we can't just depend on the Pentecost experience we had. We were once on fire, and we don't want to just be talking about the good old days when we were once on fire, when God did something amazing. We want to keep having prayer meetings so we can get still getting filled with boldness, so we can have an anointing to reach people. And then here's the thing. God will do miracles. I love this. Stretch out your hand with miracles. Here's what happens. When the church gets on fire, and you know, I'm going to say it again, the way the church gets on fire is through prayer. There's no other shortcuts to get the church on fire than through prayer. So when the church gets on fire, not just a soul saved, but what begins to happen is the miraculous atmosphere is created for people to have their miracle, those coming in and those in the house. Miracles just start to become the norm. We begin to push in for it because we serve a God of miracles. We don't just sing the song about a God of miracles. We actually serve a God of miracles, and that's for us today. I said, this is my absolute conviction of what God wants to do here in C3 Monash is turn the temperature up and increase the miraculous to be normal in your church. He wants to turn it up and increase the miraculous. A young lady in our church who was being married, got saved in our church, got married in our church to another guy who got saved in our church, and they were unable to have children. And she hit some terrible health issues. She got breast cancer. She had to have chemo, have treatment, all sorts of different things. It sent her into early menopause, and she would have been, how old would she have been at that age, babe? 20s, in her 20s, so she's gone into early menopause. She's been told by the doctor, so you are medically unable to have a baby because of everything that's happened in your body and the chemo, et cetera, et cetera. You are now infertile. But her name is Nat. Well, Nat heard what the doctors said and respected the doctors, but she's in a church where we believe that God is a God who does miracles. And she had a picture of herself with babies in her arms. So she keeps believing God and keeps speaking out what God said. And because she's in an atmosphere of the miraculous, and she's making a choice herself to step into that atmosphere of the miraculous without any IVF stuff or whatever. Not only does Nat conceive to have a baby, she conceives to have twins naturally. And so now she's got these two beautiful little boys walking around. And the only thing, and it was a process of a number of years of believing and declaring and hanging on to what she'd seen and what she declared. But when we get on fire, it keeps the atmosphere and expectation for the miraculous alive in our lives. Even though you might be not seeing something right now, it doesn't mean we take the foot off the pedal and go, that's not God's will. We actually step in and go, Lord, I'm serving you, and I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to keep believing that you are a good God. This is what Hebrews 11 says. It says, faith believes that God is a good God and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The other side of your prayer, the other side of your pushing through is the reward of heaven that God's waiting to pour out on your life. I love it what happens when we create an atmosphere for miracles. Just recently, the Lord spoke to me for people in our church who'd never owned their first home. And I saw a vision, this is for our church, I saw a vision of people standing on the altar and an angel's coming along and picking up like a pillow, imagine a royal pillow that you'd have a crown sitting on, or you'd have a ring, or some sort of jewelry, and the angel would pick up a pillow and it'd have a set of keys on them, and the angel would give them to people and say, here's the keys to your house that God's going to bless you with. So we had an altar call for people, and again, we're creating an atmosphere for the miraculous. The first week, two couples came back and said, we got our house. Miraculously, we've been believing for ages. We sold a house that we haven't been able to sell for a long time. We got a house. It's the atmosphere of the miraculous where God wants to move in our hearts if we push in and work towards it. What I love, in the last 6 months, I've seen two couples in our church. One who'd been in our church and had some terrible problems and had been living separate for 6 months. And I watched, get this, in a prayer meeting. I watched over 10 days of prayer. We'd have early morning prayer meetings. Them come separately, pushing into God, and I watched progressively after 6 months of separation as they just moved together, and we've just had another 10 days of prayer, and every time this couple, they're back together, they're living together, they've redone their vows, they're holding hands in prayer. I know prayer creates an atmosphere where miracles are possible. Watched another couple come into our church, or a guy come into our church. He's a builder. He'd be in his 50s, and his marriage had fallen to bits a number of years ago. He was in all sorts of problems and all sorts of difficulties. And crazily enough, not a Christian, a friend came. He was desperate. He came, and he started to come to our business person's prayer meeting. He's not a Christian. His friend's just like, you just need to get in any positive atmosphere you can. So at 6 o'clock once a month on a Wednesday morning, I run this thing, and he comes along and he just sits in the corner. And I'm like, how are you finding it? And he goes, oh, this is just good for me. There's something here that I need that's getting in me and getting on me. And so bit by bit, he's around for about 3 months. He was more dedicated to prayer meetings than half our church Christians. It was awesome. He's coming along. He's coming in the atmosphere. And then after about 3 months, he makes a public declaration of his faith in Jesus Christ. Then I don't know how this happened. I haven't found out the full story of it. But maybe 5 months after coming to our church, his estranged wife turns up with him. And they're sitting there. I met them, and it's like they're there, and they'd had a sort of amicable breakup, if you like. But she came along, and I've watched them fall back in love again in the house of God. And I've watched them, and their marriage has been restored. So two Sunday nights ago, I watched. So she's given her life to Christ. That I watched them both get water baptized at the same time, take a step, a new start in Christ, and their marriage is restored. This is the miraculous atmosphere that God wants us to have in our church. It's not just that we come to church for 90 minutes on a Sunday, tick the religious box, and we did that, and there we go. I'm accrediting some points to get myself into heaven. Hopefully there's some payoff this week. God, I went to church. You owe me now. At least twice in the month I went. So now, that's not how it works. We're in the house of God because He's first. We're in a place of prayer because He's got a tremendous purpose for you and I. Not just to clock on and out of work and not just to look after our families. He sent us to change the world that we live in. He sent us with a message of hope and peace to radically transform people's lives. So a people who go, okay, God, I'm going to up the spiritual atmosphere by doing something. So you've got right now out of the price that other people have paid and the price that you've paid. So if it's going to change, someone's got to pray a price for the future. Someone's got to pray the price for transformation in people's lives. It's very rewarding as it begins to happen. All right, the third thing that will happen. So if we're talking about an atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere on fire that's created, souls will come to Christ. Our heart will get on fire for lost people. That will be part of the miracle of prayer. What I know in my head should be a priority will become a priority in my heart in the place of prayer. The second thing that will happen is we'll create an atmosphere of miracles that will touch not just me, but everybody around me. Then the third thing that will happen when we create that atmosphere is that God will speak clearly to us. I love this in Acts chapter 13. Just another moment. Just be a great study to go through Acts. What are the different prayer meetings and what happens when the church prays? So in this particular one, Acts chapter 13, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting together, the Holy Spirit said, aha. So when did the Holy Spirit speak? In an atmosphere of spiritually seeking God, worship, fasting. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Very significant moment in the life of the church, in the sending of people on their way. Just recently, I had the privilege of interviewing a man called Simon McIntyre. How many of you know of Simon McIntyre? Okay, a few. Simon McIntyre was one of the original, when Pastor Phil Pringle and Chris Pringle moved from New Zealand to Sydney to start a church, which is now, at that time they didn't realize it, but became the first church in a movement of 550 churches around the world 40 years later. When they moved from New Zealand, Simon and his wife Helen also moved at the same time. They were in, Pastor Phil was their youth pastor. And so when they got the call to come over, God spoke to them, you should go over too. They came over and pretty much just did whatever needed to happen around the church for many, many years in all sorts of different roles. And as I interviewed Simon, he told me about a specific moment where their church had 3 days of prayer and fasting. And all of the staff, instead of working for those 3 days, would go to the auditorium and people would join them and they'd fast and they'd pray and they'd fast and they prayed. And at the end of that 3 days, he said, we had a 30-minute meeting. And in that 30-minute meeting, he said there was three or four things that became crystal clear to him. One of them, his first wife, Helen, passed away from cancer. And so he'd been alone for a period of time. One of the first things that God said is, you need to marry Valerie. And Valerie McIntyre is just a gorgeous lady who's a part of the executive team of C3 Global right now. And so he said, I came out of that with absolute clarity. But then this second thing happened. We had a C3 church in London and in Amsterdam that had hit some really difficult, turbulent waters. And the pastor had stopped pastoring for other reasons. And so the church was in turmoil. And that guy also happened to be the regional leader for a number of our churches in Europe. And so our Europe for C3, it was just a nightmare. Without a leader, without clarity, with the pain that had gone on, it was just a nightmare. And in that meeting, after 3 days, Pastor Phil had looked at him and just said, London. And he's like, yeah, I need to go to London. And in one moment, after prayer and fasting, they appointed them and anointed them. It wasn't like weeks and weeks of pros and cons and analysis. It just came out of a place where the Holy Spirit spoke so clearly, and they moved. So essentially, he married Valerie, moved to London. Europe right now is one of the healthiest regions in C3. It's the third largest region that we've got going on. It's turned around. There's stacks of churches being planted, stacks of churches, you know, all over the place. I met some pastors from Zurich this week, some from Arnhem in Holland. So, you know, from all over the place. And I know the key of it came from a moment of corporate prayer, fasting and seeking God. And when you get in that moment, it's like when you're in an airplane, And it's cloudy and it's rainy and it's confusing and you're not quite, you know, it's dark and depressing, you can't see. And you just have that beautiful moment. You get through a bit of turbulence and you get up above the clouds and the sun is shining and suddenly you just have clarity. Prayer and fasting will do that for you. You go through the circumstances of our life, the challenges of our life. We go through a little bit of turbulence because that's what will happen. When God's going to do something significant, the devil knows it and he'll try and rock your world so that you don't do that. But you go through some turbulence and then suddenly clarity comes. God speaks. Let's do this. I need to do that. So many times, personally, in my own business, in my own family, in our own finances, in the church, in the different roles, I've wondered, God, what should I do? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to get out of this? But setting aside time of prayer and worship, and then just suddenly, the Holy Spirit made it clear. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us in this moment. And I believe out of this season of prayer, God is going to speak to individuals, but God's also going to reveal things for this church that aren't even yet on your radar. A little bit like, and I would say this prophetically for this church, what's going to happen if I'll get a keyboardist to come on up as we come to a close. But I can see, like, you know, when you go to the movies and the curtain's drawn a certain amount for the ads, and then suddenly the curtains go a bit wider. And it's like, okay, the feature is about to begin. I can see out of this season of prayer, the curtains are going to go wider and the vision is going to get clearer. And God is going to speak some things to your leaders about the next season in the life of your church that isn't on their radar yet, but he's about to bring it with clarity today. Can we close our eyes right across the room right now? Father, I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in this church, a church that loves your presence. Lord, a church that loves what you've called them to do. I'm asking, God, there's a season of prayer. There's a season of fasting happening right now. And I'm asking that you would stir in hearts. You'd stir in hearts. So I'm wondering, I'm going to ask you in a moment. I'm guessing people kind of registered for different hours throughout the prayer vigil. Is that how it works? Do you register or do you just rock up? Or you just rock up. All right. There's different leaders assigned to lead every hour. All right. So just with eyes closed, if God's speaking to you as I've been preaching, you need to get involved, whether it's for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, all the night, but you need to get involved and be part of an army of people who are turning up the heat, the spiritual atmosphere in this church. You might not feel like it. You might be a little bit spiritually dehydrated. And so it's like, oh, I'm apathetic or lethargic about this. But you know what? The other side is going to come passion and zeal into your heart and into this church. And you're saying, all right, I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to be at least in an hour. Well, just raise your hand and say, okay, I'm in. I'm going to do that. Just put your hand up and say, that's me. I'm in. I'm in. Just waiting for more people. Don't need to write it down, but God sees this particular moment. That's awesome. So many people stepping into a new season in the life of this church, birthed in prayer. God bless you. Father, let there be a fire that's lit in this house. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. You can put your hands down. I'm wondering, just as we come to a close, a little bit earlier, I just made this simple statement that you're created for a relationship with God. And there'll always be a vacuum that nothing else will fill until you have that relationship. So many people try and deal with the pain of life and the pain of their hearts through escaping, through relationships, through collecting stuff, through positions and power and success. But it never will never fill that space in your heart that was created for God, because you're created for a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And I'm wondering this morning, if you're here and you're not in a relationship with God, you might believe that He's real, but you've never prayed a prayer asking for His forgiveness and beginning a relationship with Him. In a moment, I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer of connecting with God. And if you're going to do that, in a moment, I'm just going to ask you to just raise your hand in your seat. And when you do that, I'll just say, I see your hand, and you can put it down. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer connecting to God. You might have once prayed a prayer like that. You might have once walked with God, but you've drifted away. God didn't move, you just drifted. You disconnected. Didn't mean to, got busy, something went down, but you know right now Jesus is not the center of your life and you're not in that relationship with Him that you know you need. Today's your day to get right with Him afresh, to come back to Him. And in a moment when I ask for hands to go up, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand and I'm going to include you in this prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just not sure when you die, if you're going to go to heaven. You don't have a confidence in your heart about that. Eternity is way too important to be unsure about. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. You get to heaven because you put your faith in Jesus. That his sacrifice on the cross makes us right when we put our faith in him. And if that's you in a moment, you're like, John, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven, but I'd love to be. In a moment, I want you to raise your hand. So right now, while eyes are closed right across the room, if you're saying, I need that relationship with God, something's missing. I want that relationship. I need to come back to God because I'm away from him. I need to reconnect with him. Or I just need to be sure I'm going to heaven. If that's you, would you just raise your hand up right now and say, John, that's me today. I want God in my life. Awesome. Thanks. I see your hand. Thanks, man. I see your hand. Thanks, sir. I see your hand. Thanks up the back there. I see your hand. Thanks, champ, over here. I see your hand. Fantastic. Fantastic. You can put your hands down, those of you who raised your hands. So good. I'm so proud of you. Just wondering, is there anyone else? Your heart's pounding right now because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's using me, but he's talking to you. God loves you so much the way you are, but he's got so much more for you, so much better for you. But it just takes a step of courage to say, okay, today I'm going to commit my life to God. And if that's you today, I want you to just join with these. I'm not going to take too much longer, but I don't want to miss you out. If that's you, raise your hand as well. Join with these five who've already raised their hand and say, that's me as well. I need to connect with God. I need to get right with God. Thanks, mate. That's awesome. Fantastic. 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 All right, this is what I want to do together. For those of you who raised your hand and for everyone, I'm going to lead us in a prayer together right now. And I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, pray this from your heart, but we're all going to pray this together. Would you say these words after me? Dear God in heaven, I thank you that you love me, that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me, for my sin. I'm sorry for living my way. I'm turning to you to follow Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and the power of God. I thank you today that I'm forgiven, born again, and going to heaven in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.